Invite you back again this next week. We're starting a new sermon series next week called Encountering God. And what we're going to be talking about is what are the things that we do to help us grow spiritually, to help us encounter God and be able to connect with Him. And so that'll actually take us through the summer, the rest of the summer months. And so I'm really excited because it's my prayer that through this time and season, we'll learn to grow and see God in things like our prayer life and in reading the Bible and worship and those kinds of things. So I want to invite you back for that. We're finishing up today our last sermon in our series on Proverbs. We didn't go through all of them because that would take forever. But what we did is we took some different topics and saw what the Proverbs had to say about that. And what we find in the book of Proverbs, it's about halfway through your Bible. It's right after the book of Psalms, which is the largest book in your Bible. Proverbs is right after that. What we see in Proverbs is wisdom sayings and God's way of living this life. And it doesn't bring us salvation by following the rules, that our salvation comes through Jesus Christ forgiving us. But what we see is God's commands and God saying, listen, I will walk with you, and these are the things that will go well for you if you walk in these ways. And so we talked about wisdom and how it brings blessing. We also talked about the wisdom of in communication. And then we talked about comparing the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of God. We had a whole sermon on foolishness and also talking about relationships as well too. And through this 10-week series, we saw also, in the month of May, we did a proverb a day in the month of May. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 31 days in the month of May. Not only that, but there's a few other ones. But what we did is we read a chapter of Proverbs a day in the month of May. And it's been my hope that this has stirred your interest in the Bible, that you get to see the wisdom that comes out of it, as well as get to see the God who created all those things. And that your interest for reading the scriptures on your own hopefully is heightened through this time as well too. Because what we see in the book of Proverbs is not only a list of commands and a list of wise sayings. We not only see that, but we also get to see through it. If we look carefully, we get to see the person behind it, God, the one who wrote it. Jesus is God in the flesh, and Jesus is also referred to as the Word. And so what we get to see in all of this, we get to see God at work in these things. So not just kingdom principles, but the King himself. I think often what happens to us is someone once told me that God made us in his own image and we returned the favor by making him in ours. And I think what happens is we take our own life, we take our own sinfulness, we take our own junk, and we project that on God like that's somehow must be what he is like as well too. And I think so often when we see the commands of God, what happens is there's a disconnect of thinking that, okay, Jesus not only commands this, but he's the embodiment of it. Like, Jesus doesn't say, do what I say, not what I do, okay? That's not what Jesus does. In fact, he just says, I will lead the way. In fact, I am the way. And so as we look through the scriptures and we see the commands of God, know that it was God who paved the way for these as well, too, that he's consistent with his own commands. And so today we're gonna dive in, we're gonna see the heart of God, and we're gonna talk about trusting God, we're gonna see the goodness of God in all of this. But let's start, we're gonna be in Proverbs 4, starting in verse 10, the words are going to be up on the screen, so you can follow along, or if you have a Bible, you can follow along with that as well, too. Let's dig in. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is a deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. What we see right away in the middle, in the beginning of this scripture that we're talking about, it says, "My son, accept my words. Hear my son and accept my words." I think if we grew up in church, we've grown overly familiar with the fact that God relates to us. Like, this is amazing to me that the God of the universe wants to talk with us, wants to interact with us, wants to guide us and lead us. If you think about the religious systems of the world, we think about that we see, you know, in different religious beliefs and the gods that they worship, God who is aloof, God who is cruel, God who is needs to be woken up, God who is bothered, but he needs us to get his attention. But what we see in the scriptures and the God of the universe and the God of the Bible, that God relates to us in a way showing that he initiates and he's the one who wants to interact with us. And not only that, but in a way that's familial, calling us his son, like his kids. Think about that. The words of God, the God of the universe, speaking to you like you're one of his children. I think that's an amazing thing. We get to see the heart of God in that. And God's desire is to see us live virtuous lives, one that are wise and upright and honorable and noble. And it says, I want you to live these things so that when you walk, you're not going to get hampered. When you run, you're not going to stumble. God's desire for our lives is that we could walk in freedom. God's desire for our lives is that when we walk this life or when we run in this life, that we would not get tripped up. That God's desire for your life is what's best, and he has your best interest in mind. We have to remember that when we think about the commands of God, especially ones that are really difficult for us or ones that really challenge us or really press upon us, we see this is God saying, listen to me, listen, my child, listen. Hear my words, because I want you to live a long time and I want your life to be one where you're not constantly getting tripped up. It says, keep hold of my instruction. Don't let go of it. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't enter the path of the wicked. If someone is reveling in their sin and they're just celebrating it and actively turned away from God and totally rejected, like when we think about like the way of the wicked, the desire of the wicked is to jack up your life. That's the Steve paraphrase of the scripture here. It says that they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. They can't even sleep until they jacked up your life. That's the goal. So you have a God who's good and gracious going, listen, I want you to walk in a way because I want you to walk in freedom and life and abundance. And then there's the way of the wicked that their whole aim is just to jack up your life. And we see the heart of God at this. But here's the thing about following Jesus, and here's the thing that makes it really tricky is we see the heart of God, because we go, okay, that's really nice of God, that he wants us to walk in a way that is a blessing to us and a blessing to others. That's awfully nice of him. So why do we have a hard time following it? And I think there's some reasons behind that. One is we were all born inheriting something inside of our souls that wants to walk away from God. It's called our sin nature. It's just that we all got it. We all inherited it. It came down from Adam and Eve. It came all the way. And we have, honestly, a desire to walk away from God. You ever have a desire just to do something wrong? Nobody? Just me? Okay. Just time of honesty. You're all lying. Okay. But this idea of like, there's just a desire. Sometimes you're like, yeah, I know what it says and I know what God says, but I just kind of want to do my own thing and I would rather actually break stuff. I just want to break stuff. So we have this desire that we want to walk away from God. We actually want to sin a lot of times. And then we also, on top of it, we live in a culture that values rebellion. Like, rebellion is one of the highest values of the American culture. to rebel against the man, to rebel against society, to rebel against your parents, to rebel against whatever. Like we honor the rebel. We hold high the rebel. And what I think is really funny right now, by the way, is if we really want to rebel against society, then the most rebellious thing we can do is like get a job and be faithful. Like, I just think that's amazing to me. Like, look at that guy showing up for work and loving people well and having integrity. Dude, he's such a rebel. But we live in a culture that values rebellion. We have a desire in our hearts a lot of times that wants to rebel, and we have a hard time trusting that God is good. We have a hard time trusting that what God says really will lead to life. We have a hard time believing that God really wants what's best for us, and that the commands of God, even though difficult, will ultimately lead us into greater joy. We have a hard time believing that. At all ages and all different walks of life and all different phases of spiritual maturity, we all struggle with that. Is God really going to be good to us? And that leads us to trusting God. Can you trust him? And is he trustworthy? In Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, it says this. My son, it is again, right, this idea of being a child of God. Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. What God is saying in this is, listen, he says, in the first part, he says, this is my heart. My heart is that you would walk upright lives so that you would not stumble or be hampered. My desire and my heart for you is that you wouldn't walk in the ways of the wicked because they want to hurt you. My desire is that you would flourish and that your years would be many. And then in this, he gives us instruction. Lots of instruction in the scripture. Things like be attentive, incline your ear. Don't escape, keep, find, keep with all diligence. Put away this, look directly forward. Keep your gaze straight, ponder on these things. Do not swerve, turn away from evil. He says, I want to show you my heart, and then I want to give you the commands. But I want you to remember the commands are based upon the heart of God. And we say, can we trust him? Because here's some things you have to know about trust. Because when you trust something or you trust someone, you are putting your life and your well-being in their hands. Okay? I'm trusting you, right? Every time we walk into a car, we step into a car, we're trusting that the people who made the car did it well. Okay? We're trusting that you didn't have a bad day, right? We're also trusting that when we drive a car that everyone else is going to obey traffic laws, okay? We put our trust in people's hands all the time. I'm putting my life in your hands. I'm going to drive through this intersection trusting that you're paying attention, right? So when we say we're going to put our trust in Jesus' hands, we're going to put our lives in Jesus' hands, there's a few things we have to admit in the middle of this. One, you have to admit that someone knows better than you, okay? I'd almost say I hate to break this to you, but I love to break this to you, actually. God is smarter than you. He's smarter than you, okay? That's a good thing. He knows better than you. And the next thing, that, by the way, that takes humility. It takes a humble spirit to understand, like, I am not the smartest person in the room. God is. And the next thing we have to give up is control. We have to give up control if we're going to trust God, right? Because we got to go, God, I trust you with my life, but if I could just get back in there and just kind of get, If I could just get this one piece. Okay, I got it. Right? I trust you, God. I trust you. You know better than me. I'm going to trust you with my life. But we have to give up control. And that takes courage. It takes courage to give up control because you're putting your life in someone else's. And you might go, I don't know if I can do that because I don't know if God's going to be good to me, or I don't know if God's going to give me what I want. Some of us struggle trusting God because we think he's going to keep from us what we want. And the reality is, sometimes he might. And that's where we have to go back to the first part, saying God knows better than I do. And God's desire is for my good. God's desire is for my good. He knows better than me, even when it doesn't make sense. And you might go, well, I have good plans. I got this great life that I got laid out. And when I was a kid, we had great plans. Some friends and I had a friend of mine in elementary school who was a real daredevil. It was the 80s, so everybody wanted to be one. So his plan was at recess to climb up a piece of playground equipment and climb on top of it because, you know, just the way you're supposed to use it just wasn't enough. And climb on top of it and then jump off of it head first. That was his plan. Guys, we weren't dumb. He brought a helmet. We were totally fine. And I, since the tender age of, I don't know when, have always had the gift of encouragement. You should do this. This is going to be awesome. This is amazing. Let's go do this. And so we're walking out. We got the plan. You know, none of us had music at the time, but in the head, we all had Eye of the Tiger just going on. We're going to go out there. It's going to jump off and land head first on the ground. We got this. Until the lady who was in charge of recess walked out and said, hey, boys, what are you doing? We shared the plan. Well, here's what we're going to do, Miss Lady. He's going to jump off head first, but he's got a helmet, so it's going to be okay. And she's like, no. You can't do that. He'll break his neck. And we went, oh, we didn't consider the neck. Right? So we had this plan. We had this vision of glory. We had this to be immortal. We're going to be remembered. Yes, we were. Right? We had this whole thing planned out. And then someone who knew better took away what we wanted. And we all lived that day. And we all live that day. And we go, yeah, we can laugh about that, but what happens when life really doesn't make sense? And what happens when we don't get the thing that we really, really wanted and that was really, really good? A few weeks ago, I shared with you guys, the church, if you weren't here, my wife and I planned on adopting two children, and we had been working very hard for a year to adopt these two children, and in what seemed like the blink of an eye, everything unraveled, and we are not able to adopt those kids. And we have been trying aggressively to adopt for the last 3 years, and it's been a 14-year prayer that we would be able to. And in the middle of all of that, we have two biological children, but we've also had two miscarriages as well, too. So we had a miscarriage before our son, and we had our son, and then we had a miscarriage before our daughter, then we had our daughter, and now we've had a miscarried adoption. And it really hurts. And for a while there, your brain is in a fog, and you don't know what weighs up, and you worry, and you cry, and you process, and you grieve, and all those things are good. And my family and I, we're on the healing process, and we have, you know, we're having good days. We still have tough days here and there, but we're working through these things. But here's the thing. I still don't know why that happened. I have no idea why that happened. Sure, I have some ideas about why that could have happened. Oh, God's protecting me for something. But I don't know why. But I tell you what I do know. I know who. I know who I trust when life doesn't make sense. I know who I trust in the middle of pain. And what we're seeing in this scripture is he's like, be attentive to my words, my son. Listen to me. Focus on me. When the fog of life happens and when your world gets turned upside down, look to Jesus. Look to him. He says, keep them. Guard your heart. Walk through these things because I want you to walk with me in the middle of this. And I have conversations as a pastor. I get into interesting conversations in the community and stuff. And some people talk to me and say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. And we get on this conversation of why they don't believe in God. And it's not so much that they don't necessarily believe in God. It's that they're angry at him. Because they prayed for something and God didn't give it to them. And so now they're going to walk away. And some of the things that they prayed about were good things. I prayed that grandma would be healed and she didn't get healed, so I walked away. I prayed that my marriage would be restored and it's not restored, so I walked away. I prayed for the cancer to go away and it didn't go away. I prayed for safe travel and they didn't come home. And I would encourage you, if you're in a place of trial and confusion, bring all your stuff to God. Bring all of it. Bring your anger, bring your confusion, bring your disappointments, bring your fears, bring it all to God. He's big enough to handle all of your emotion and all of your pain. Bring it all to God. But I implore you, I beg you, I would encourage you, bring it to God. Don't turn your back on him. Because in the middle of this, we see that God is good. And his ways are good. And even if we can't understand why something happens, we know who we trust. And we can see the goodness of God in the middle of pain. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We need to spend more of our time thinking about things like this. As a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean that you just bury your head into the sand and that you don't recognize that there's problems in the world. But what we're saying is, in your leisure, what are you focusing on? When you have downtime, what do you pay attention to? Do you focus on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise? And here's what's awesome about this, is that God is the perfect, beautiful, highest expression of all of these things. There is nothing more true than Jesus, or honorable, or just, or pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. All of this happens, all these things that are praiseworthy and good, and all of the virtues found in Proverbs, all of the things that we've been talking about, all the things that we see find their fulfillment in Christ. Colossians 1:19 and 20 says, For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The fullness of God. God, Jesus is the Word become flesh. The fullness of God is wrapped up in the skin and body of Jesus. All that is pure and good and right and just and commendable. And here's what's awesome. God takes it one step further. Jesus isn't just our example. He's our Savior. He's not just a good moral man. It's not just God in the flesh. He's our Savior. He didn't come to earth and say, this is how you're supposed to live. Catch up. He says, this is how you should live, and I am going to give my life for you. And Jesus makes peace with us by the blood of his cross. You see, Jesus lived a life that was perfect, and he went to the cross to stand into the place of humanity. Jesus, being fully man, was the perfect substitute for you and me. But he's also fully God, and so it wasn't just one life for one life, it was one life for all who would call upon his name. His life carries an infinite value. His resurrection gives us life. His cross, his blood brings us peace. And so when we look at Proverbs and we look at the scriptures, we can go, I didn't measure up here, and I didn't measure up here, and I didn't measure up here, and yet God is the one who takes away all of that guilt and covers all of our shame. Dwell upon the cross of Christ. There is nothing more true than Jesus giving his life for you and me. There's nothing more honorable or just or pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, or praiseworthy. The reason why Proverbs is so fascinating is because we see the perfect fulfillment of Jesus in them. They're more than good thoughts. It's the life of God. And so in the middle of my trials, and in the middle of my pain, and in the middle of grief, I can trust God because I know that he's taken away all my sin. And if he was willing to go to the cross for me, and then he asks me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that he'll be with me. And that he doesn't leave. And when his commands don't make sense or they're really, really difficult to obey, he encourages me. And when I stumble and fall and don't measure up, which is often, he waits for me. And he picks me up, and we pick up right where we left off. So if you're here today and you're broken, come to him and he makes you whole. If you're distressed, he gives you peace. If you're weary and heavy laden, he gives you rest. It's an amazing God in which we worship. Let's pray. And after we pray, we'll receive the offering. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for you. You call us to yourself like a father calls his children. You share your heart with us and your desire to see us flourish. And even when we walk away through our lack of trust or our just desire to sin, you are patient. You call us back to yourself. And when we just can't go on, you stay with us. God, I pray that we would all today renew our trust in you and recognize how good you have always been to us. And walk ahead knowing that you'll be good to us again. There is no shadow of turning, and there is no bad days for you. There is no sin.